Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim. Each week, we interview leaders, and this podcast is designed to help you become a better leader as they share lessons learned in their career. And this week, we're happy to have with us Gene Holloway. Gene is the Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Chief Compliance Officer at CryoLife, a publicly traded company. She has a background in working as an executive in companies such as Bard, Boston Scientific, and Medtronic. And earlier in her career, she was a trial lawyer and has taught law at the university level. And she has a JD as well as an MBA from University of Chicago and undergraduate degrees in engineering and political science from Yale University. Looking forward to our conversation with Gene. Gene, first off, can you give us a little bit of your career history?
Yeah, so I've been a lawyer for a long time, almost a little over three decades now, with some small forays into non-legal work. Started out with a private law firm, then went to work for a nonprofit to run a nonprofit for a while. Worked a little bit in the city attorney's office for a while. Then I went to McKinsey & Company and was a business consultant for a while. And then after that experience, I went in-house to become, to take on, you know, increasingly senior roles in medical device companies. And I've been in the medical device field since 2003, I think.
Okay. Great. Well, you've got definitely a wealth of experience in a lot of different areas. If you were able to go back knowing what you know now and talk to a 22-year-old Jean, what advice would you give her?
I think the advice that I would give her is to be willing to explore and to take on risk more in their career. I've certainly taken on a lot of risk in my career in terms of moving from position to position. I had a lot of flexibility to do that because my husband was also employed. But every single one of those opportunities was better than the next, and I enjoyed every single one of them and learned something from them and was able to take it to my next job. So I would say take on a little bit more risk and also be patient that things are always going to work out.
Great. Well, mentors are important in anybody's career. Talk a little bit about that, the importance of having people around you that maybe can help you in your career as you're growing in your leadership.
Mentors, in my estimation, are essential. And I've never had a formal mentor where I've been paired up with somebody as a mentor.
Sure.
But I've had very close working relationships with individuals who are more senior than I am, whether it's in the business world or in the legal world, who have I have developed really open and trusting relationships where they feel like they've been able to give me very candid feedback on how certain things go and how certain, you know, this has gone well, this hasn't gone so well, you might want to try this. And they've been just essential to me. I think at every point in my career, quite frankly, I've had two or three at the same time who I've been able to go to and talk to about things and give me advice. They're just essential.
Great. As you've managed teams and worked in, you know, large organizations and kind of in different settings, somebody that's coming in as a new leader that's maybe leading a team for the first time, what advice would you give them as they're kind of starting that process?
I think the most essential piece of advice was something I said earlier, is patience and standing back and learning and gathering more information before you start to take action. I think that's the most important thing that I've learned in my career. I think as new leaders, sometimes we come in feeling like we need to make a mark and we need to make an important mark quickly. And I think that's true. But I think it's important before you do that, that you have a good piece of the information, that you understand the culture that you're working in, and that you have a healthy appreciation for those before you start making big changes. And the other thing I would say where some leaders really trip up is rather than being positive and looking forward, they sometimes spend a fair amount of time dinging the prior administration, whether they're correct or not about that, that the prior administration was no good. It doesn't make them very look very good to do that because everybody has friends.
Sure.
And so you're bound to offend somebody if you spend too much time dinging the prior administration rather than looking forward and developing plans on your own.
Yeah, that's great advice. As you're thinking about somebody that's kind of managing their career, and one thing that I always tell candidates that I'm working with is you're the one that's responsible for managing your own career. Nobody else is going to do it for you. What are some things that, you know, have helped you as far as in your growth as a leader? Some tips that you could give somebody as far as things that have been helpful as you've developed?
I think it's really important to have, even at this point in my career, a 1, 3, and 5-year plan. Things don't always, and they rarely work out exactly how you intended them to be. But unless you have some idea of where it is that you want to be going, and I think that's to combine it both professionally and personally about where you're going to want to be going in the next year and in 3 years and in 5 years, and then lay out kind of the plans about where you need to get there, you're going to be a little bit chaotic in terms of how you're managing your career, which is not to say that you shouldn't take advantages of opportunities that are going to come along, because I know in my career and a lot of my friends in their career, a lot of where we've gotten in life has been something that's a surprise to us that comes out of left field that we need to be able to evaluate. But I think it is pretty important to plan and to bounce your plans off of your boss and off of your mentor, your spouse, or your significant other is really important.
So when you're in a situation where maybe the stress is high and maybe there's a lack of focus, how do you refocus as far as what are some things that you've done that have helped you as far as in those stressful situations?
Well, I'm a big believer in exercise. I try and I make time almost every day to get some exercise. I really do feel that relieves a lot of stress. And I also think it's important to kind of walk away from things for a little bit to give your mind a rest and to give yourself a rest. So to put down your phone and to put down your iPad for whether it's only 6 hours or 12 hours or a day where you can give your mind some quiet time and to engage in other hobbies that you like to do, I think is really important. It's just important. I just went through a really stressful time here at work. It's our annual board meeting and all of that kind of stuff. And it's about 2 weeks of intense stress. And it's important after that to take a little bit of time away to decompress. Mm.
So speaking of boards and working with boards, a lot of times somebody coming in as a new leader of an organization, maybe has never worked with a board before. They maybe have volunteered on boards, but talk a little bit about that experience and some things that you've found has been helpful as far as in working with a board.
With a board, I think your credibility is almost everything, right? Mm-hmm. That's true whether you're a lawyer or you're the CEO or the CFO. So again, I think it's important to start slowly, but it's also important to do impeccable work so that the work that you're putting present in front of the board, whether it's oral or presentation, is well thought out and correct and buttoned up, even for things like typographical errors and stuff like that. It takes away from your presentation. So making sure that what you're doing is essential, I mean, is correct. And then, again, I think listening is really important. What are the concerns of the board? What are the concerns of each board member? Developing relationships with the board in those small moments that you have of downtime is really important. And so you build up your credibility over the course of, a year or two. And that can go a long way for you. But that's the most important thing in my estimation.
Sure. Well, I'm sure a lot of your career has been focused on being kind of that trusted advisor to leaders that you've worked with. And
yes,
talk a little bit about that and kind of, you know, a lot of times, you know, definitely some people are like, well, I want to be the CEO of an organization, but those people, those key people that can be definitely support the leader and give them needed advice. Tell me a little bit about that experience and somebody that maybe is in that position where they're having to give advice, and how do you give it, and how do you position in a way that people are accepting of that advice?
Yeah, so again, it's much the same thing. I think first it's about establishing your credibility with your leader in terms of having your facts straight and the law straight and that kind of thing. It's also about developing the relationship with the leader so that part of he understands or she understands that, for example, my obligation principally as a general counsel is to the company, but my CEO is going to be a lot more receptive to my advice if he or she feels that I also care about them as a person and their success as a leader of the organization, and that my advice is coming from a perspective of not only protecting the company, but helping him or her to succeed in their role. Again, it's a lot about listening. So what I do if I have a particularly difficult situation with a leader is the way I approach it. Timing is really important. You want to make sure that you're having this conversation with the leader, you know, not when they're frazzled with an investment call or they had some horrible interaction with a board member or something like that. So timing is important. And then asking more questions and say, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Were you aware of this? That kind of thing. And generally, I find with that kind of inquisitive style, you and your CEO or your board member, whoever it is you're trying to influence, can actually get to the same spot. It's rare that I find myself in a position where my leader or my board member says, well, that's just nonsense, and I disagree with everything you said, and I'm not going to do it. It just doesn't happen that frequently, if ever.
As you've kind of continued to learn and grow throughout your career, what are some books that you would recommend to somebody that's a new leader or a leader that's been kind of at the midpoint in the career? Anything that stands out that you'd recommend?
You know, I think for me, it's been kind of the old favorites. It's Good to Great. It's Execution. It's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Quite frankly, all of those core principles show up almost all the time in every leadership book that you read. There's another one that I read that's called Leading Quietly, which is also, I thought, was very insightful about the extraordinary value that a quiet, humble leader can bring to an organization. So those are kind of the four that I think I keep going back to in my career.
Sure. Well, I know you've taught at a university level. Talk a little bit about that experience and kind of, it's always interesting when I talk to people that have taught at the college level, they always say they learned some things in teaching that they didn't recognize or they didn't know before.
Well, I love teaching. I view it as something I do in my job every day too, with the team that I have here, and it's what I've always been surprised at. It maybe says more about me is actually how really bright some of these people are and insightful, and how people who are entirely new to a subject matter can just bring new wonderful insights to a subject matter. Even if they've had no experience with it before, they bring a part of their life or their experience to a subject matter, and then they'll say something or ask a question, and you'll think, oh, I never even really thought about it like that. So it's a wonderful opportunity to learn from other people as well.
Now, you mentioned some things that you do to recharge. You mentioned exercise and some hobbies. What are some things that you do outside of work besides those activities to recharge?
Well, so I do love running, so that's part of the exercising. So
sure.
I do that a fair amount. I love music. I play the piano. I go to the opera. I have a wonderful family, so I spend a lot of time with my family. I love reading, and so I spend as much as time as I can reading both, you know, the classics and new books and interesting books. So,
Good. Any parting advice you'd give someone?
Have fun in your job. That's what I say. Don't take a job where you're miserable, where you hate your boss. There are plenty of really good jobs out in the marketplace. So you should not only be advancing your career, but you should be having fun while you're doing it.
Great. Well, thanks, Jean. This has been a lot of fun, and definitely wish you continued success in your career. And it's been great talking with you.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.